Jump shot. It's good. Zach Randolph does it again. 3-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three. Ties it up.
First team all defense. First team all defense.
Here's Gasol from outside. Tony Allen. Shot clock at four. Randolph puts it up. Puts it in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. For this show, another great guest for you guys. If you missed it last week, Joe Mullenix, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, joining us every single Wednesday this year. I think it was Tuesdays last year. I don't know. But either way, he'll be back with us every single week throughout the season. Now that he is out of football mode, he'll be joining us and talk with us. So make sure you go and subscribe to the show, whatever podcast platform you choose, whether that's Spotify, Stitcher, Overcast, Apple iTunes, anything out there that has a podcast you can subscribe to. Go out there and find it and subscribe so you don't miss conversations like this every single day. If you missed yesterday's episode, go back and listen to that. That was with Amari Sankofa from The Athletic. Always a great conversation as well. Tomorrow's episode will be with David Cobb from the Commercial Appeal beat writer over there. But first, let's get to Joe Mullenix. What's going on, man?
I'm honored to be in between Amari and David. I feel like I'm not worthy. You know, it's pretty cool to have the opportunity to have the weekly spot with you. And I appreciate you being on our podcast, Grizzly Bear Blues Live. It's a double dose for folks this week, getting a chance to hear Mark and I talk about all things Grizzlies and all the hot takes that folks like to throw around and about on Twitter and over at grizzlybearblues.com. It's fun to be back in basketball mode. You know, obviously I'm a football guy. I really enjoy that side of things and that's my work, but my hobby is basketball. My basketball was my first love and the Memphis Grizzlies are my connection to a city that I still love even after leaving now. Goodness, it's been almost 7 years since I've been in Memphis full time. So it's pretty cool to have this chance to be able to talk Grizzlies basketball with you every week. And I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Like you mentioned, we just recorded your show, Grizzly Bear Blues Live, and we're turning right around and recording my show for Locked On Grizzlies. So it will feel repetitive to us maybe, but different audiences and all that stuff. So I want to start with Josh Jackson. Obviously, that's probably the biggest news of the week is his suspension. He's getting a miss of one game suspension. And I think that for me, Mari and I kind of talked about this yesterday. It's a bit of a situation where I think there's probably more to the story we'll never find out, obviously, like we talked about with Amari, said they were here. And I think that's important because we just don't know what the scenario is. Either way, he's not helping himself out as it currently stands as a professional, doing the things that you're asked to do. Where do you land? You actually have an article about this over at grizzlybearblues.com about Josh Jackson. Where do you land on Josh? Does the suspension matter to you? Does it, do you think it does, you should call him up anyway? Do you think they should keep, is there more punishment, if you will, to be in the G League longer? Where do you land?
To be honest with you, I think your opinion on it kind of says a lot about you, or maybe it even says more about you than it does Josh Jackson at this point. I don't mean you as in Mark King. Right. I mean you as in whoever's listening to this podcast, including me as I listen to it after we record it. You know, it's fascinating because there's so many people that are so passionate about the free Josh Jackson movement. We had Anthony Sane of Grizzlies Maven over at SI.com last week. An old friend of ours going way back several years now. And, you know, Sane and I had a really good conversation on our podcast talking about, you know, why the G League isn't a rehabilitation center. You know, it's not a place where you should go and expect someone to fully develop. And I agree to an extent, but when you're put in a position of leadership, when you are in a place where people are looking to you for contributions both on and off the court, I do think it helps you professionally. It helps you in terms of character development. There's value there. And Josh Jackson, according to all reports, Jason March, the great new head coach of the Memphis Hustle, obviously they're off to a great start, and Jackson's a major reason why. But March went on record and said that, you know, Josh, up to this point, obviously the missed meeting, had been a model citizen, had been a great teammate, a tremendous leader for that club. I am of the mind that one missed meeting shouldn't reset anybody's clock. I agree that it doesn't do him any favors. It's not like he's better off for it. But at the same time, if you're going to come down pretty hard on him for missing a meeting, I'm interested what your professionalism looks like at your job. You know what I mean? Like, have you ever been late to a meeting, or have you completely forgotten about a phone call you were supposed to be in on, or have you ever, God forbid, cursed at work, or, you know, something like that that you're not supposed to do? Don't throw stones if you live in a glass house. To me, this is one of those things. Getting a baby high, like he allegedly did, that's a different stratosphere. We're talking about different stuff on that front. Involvement with the police, getting arrested, that's a little bit different than being absent for a meeting. So this doesn't change my perspective on Josh on that front. It does make me think that there's still room for him to grow, which we already knew. And I'm really interested in where his growth is as a basketball player, because as we've talked about and we'll say throughout the season coming up into 2020 and beyond, the goal of this season is to figure out who on this current roster can play next to Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant. Josh Jackson was a throw-in in that trade with the Suns. Don't get it twisted. Like, the Anthony Melton was the guy they wanted. The second-round picks are what they're excited about. Josh Jackson made the money work. And in order for a small market rebuild to truly be a home run, you take those calculated risks on a talent like Josh Jackson, who may not pan out. He may not be in the NBA a year from now. That's possible. But it's also possible he's a starter on the next great Grizzlies team. You're not going to figure that out with him sitting in South Haven participating in hustle games. He's going to have to come up with the Grizzlies at some point. Maybe it's connected to a trade. Maybe they're going to move on from Andre Iguodala and Solomon Hill or Jay Crowder or something like that, and that'll open up minutes, and that's their plan. Maybe it's connected to a timeline that they agreed to internally that we're not privy to the information on with Josh. Maybe it's January 15th, maybe it's January 1st, post-trade deadline in general. You know, there's all sorts of different angles that they could take with this, but if you want to see what the Memphis Grizzlies can be physically at their peak, you have to have Josh Jackson there because there's so much uncertainty. It's very possible he sucks. Like, he was pretty terrible at times with the Phoenix Suns. There's a reason why they moved on from him, even beyond the off the court issues. On the court, he had problems too. So don't make a mistake to say that he's a good basketball player. There's plenty of evidence to suggest he's not. But there's also evidence to suggest that he's younger than Brandon Clark, and that's just his age. Factually, that is a true statement. He is a lottery pick, a former lottery pick. He hasn't had the chance in Memphis with the Grizzlies to show what he can do on the NBA level yet. Opportunity should be calling for him, because in a season like this, it's the perfect chance to try to take a swing for the fence, as I mentioned earlier, and see if you can get a talent like a Josh Jackson for nothing. If that hits, that is the difference between being a playoff team and being a championship contender, when you can get lucky on a calculated risk. If you miss, then there's no harm in it. Nobody really expected him to be much more than a throw-in anyway at this stage, and you can move on. But where the loss would come is if they don't give him the proper opportunity to show what he can do, he goes elsewhere and he thrives for another team. Because that guy was in your building, he was in your system, and you just chose for whatever reason to not invest in him. And that's what they can't afford. They have to figure out what they have in him. And I think they will. The question is just when.
Yeah, I think you probably hit the nail on the head with Josh Jackson. You know, he is a guy that, like you said, he could very well just suck. Like, he could be bad.
And not surprise anybody.
No, exactly. Like, and we could just, this, all these conversations and shows and podcasts that I've done for 3 weeks and you've done for several weeks now, like, could just be just a moot point. But obviously, we have to talk about it. That's why we're here. That's what we get paid to do. But, like, it is a situation where it's more just, you just gotta know. And I don't think, and I'm with you, I don't think one meeting like you mentioned, is something that you should just throw it away for or start over or anything like that. Like you mentioned, there is always a story behind the story. And like you mentioned, we're never going to know what that is, but it could be as simple as I just like my alarm just didn't go off in my phone and I got there late or whatever it is. Like, and that happens to everybody in life. Like shit happens and it's just what it is. So I would love to know the actual details. Obviously we won't, but I think it's important to kind of how people frame it. And you see a lot of people's reaction is just like you mentioned, just a lot of people's reaction are, he shouldn't be here anyway. He's a terrible human. And if you can't just get with the program, just get him out of here. And it's like, well, you know, there's probably a lot of variables involved here and you're not perfect either.
I'm kind of surprised by that argument from folks, especially in Memphis, Tennessee, a place where Zach Randolph, who literally was a main contributor to the Jailblazers,
exactly,
of years past,
people just forget about that,
became a hero. You know what I mean? And I think that that's one of Sane's best points. Now, obviously, Zach and Josh are two very different players. Zach was established as an NBA successful player at that stage, and Josh is not. So I don't want to get it twisted. Obviously, personality-wise, there are differences too. But yeah, Memphis is a place that will embrace you if you embrace Memphis. And Memphis is a place where second chances are welcome. You know, that they would love those stories. And there are multiple examples throughout modern Grizzlies history, just in the last decade, of players that have come through and shown love to the city and played extremely hard, not even necessarily well at times, Mark. And I know you know this, they just played their ass off. Yeah. And if you do that and you show the city that you care about the city, you're going to become a legend in some cases. And Tony Allen's a great example of that. So
Tony Allen is a shooting guard who couldn't shoot for almost his entire career, and is probably going to have a statue outside this FedEx Forum one day. Like, that's what this city does to players who just care, who just give, you know, or work their ass off and just play hard. Like, that's what happens here. And so it is interesting where people have that kind of take on Josh. And and I think you mentioned about Zach, man, people just forget, you know, people, it's a recency bias thing. You only remember what you kind of want to remember there. So it's interesting. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. We'll talk D'Anthony Melton when we get back with Joe Mullenix, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues. Welcome back to the show, talking with Joe Mullenix, like we're going to do every single Wednesday of this show this year. Like I mentioned before the break, I want to get your take on D'Anthony Melton, a guy that we wanted to see early in the season, and because of injuries, I think it's probably the only reason we got to see, you know, good, solid minutes from D'Anthony Melton, and it looks like he's impressed the coaching staff with his play. I thought he would go back to limited minutes last night once Ja got back when the Warriors, you know, when they lined up against the Warriors. That didn't happen. He played more minutes than Grayson. Obviously, Grayson got hurt, but played more minutes than Marco. Is D'Anthony Melton a guy that you think should be out there getting more minutes than those other guys on the wing as a two guard? Or do you think this is kind of just a tryout of sorts for D'Anthony?
As long as he's able to contribute the way that he is, I think he should be out there. He's obviously different from a Marco Guterich. Marco was brought in to be a sharpshooter, a three-point marksman, and that just hasn't materialized yet. It still could, of course. It's still 2019. There's 4 months of the season that'll be played in the next calendar year that we probably need to wait a beat and see how things go for Marco over the course of the full slate. But he clearly has struggled offensively. And it's not like D'Anthony Melton is dominating the game on that end of the floor either. But what Melton does is he impacts the game in other ways. He's a solid defender, plays passing lanes well, has length, allows for switchability, and they can do different things within defensive scheme with his athleticism, his lateral movement that they just can't do with a Guterich. You know, obviously Melton has the combo guard thing going for him, so he can play the point. I think he can play alongside Tyus Jones. Now, obviously, they both struggle shooting the three, so they would have to be alongside a front court with multiple shooters, but I think he has that capacity. He could play next to Ja Morant. He has a lot more versatility to his game in terms of being a rebounder, being a slasher, a cutter at the rim. He just has more tools in his toolbox right now than a Guterich does. And I would argue maybe even potentially a Grayson Allen does. They're more in the same realm But if you look at this roster and you're trying to figure out who's going to be nice next to Jaw and Jaron moving forward, I see Melton as a better fit than a Guterich and obviously a Solomon Hill. You know, he's worthy of minutes because he's contributing in ways that not every other member of that roster can. The Grizzlies aren't consistently a good defensive team right now, which is kind of weird to say. Obviously, all those years where grit and grind defense was the priority, that hasn't really materialized to this point. They're struggling on that end more than they're succeeding. And Melton brings a spark plug. He brings an effort, a tenacity to that end that kind of kicks up the execution when he's on the floor as well, when it comes to defensive rotations, doing things the right way in terms of scheme on that front. So I'm good with Melton getting those minutes. I think he's earned them. I don't think you give up on anybody at this stage, especially a younger player, somebody like Guterich, who's still getting used to the NBA game. But if you're going to ride the hot hand, as we talked about earlier, they don't get much hotter in terms of the way that they're playing on both ends of the floor than the Anthony Melton for Memphis right now.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, as long as he continues what he's able to do, and I like the, you know, the idea of D'Anthony Melton is fantastic. We just don't know what the actual product will look long-term on the floor. I mean, obviously the idea of a lot of players is always fantastic. The idea of Marco Guterich is a great, you know, is a great in theory, something he hasn't panned out. Along the same lines, Grayson Allen, you know, as a guy that I thought, you know, he got hurt. I thought he was coming back really and playing quite well, especially against the Warriors, but in the previous games, you're really kind of getting back onto things, taking shots in the right places, in rhythm threes, you know, doing what he's been asked to do. Obviously got hurt again, he's already been ruled out for the game against the Suns. What are your thoughts and impressions of Grayson Allen on the year, you know, the little time that we've seen from him?
He's a great example of a guy who could be like Zach Randolph. You know, he kind of has a rep from his time at Duke, and then even in Utah, he did some stuff that wasn't so smart on the court. Just, you know, the tripping and the way that he carries himself. Maybe the technical term would be douchebag. I don't know if that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, that's a technical term.
And I like on Locked On, I feel like I can be a little bit more edgy. This is the edgy Joe Mullinax that people get. So if you subscribe to the idea that Grayson Allen appears to be a bag of douche at times, then it really kind of allows for you to see the potential for him to be that guy that, you know, other teams hate him, but you love that he's on your team. Yeah. He has offensive potential. There's no denying that. Obviously, he can shoot the basketball. He also is an underrated facilitator. I think that he, as a wing, I wouldn't put him at the point and ask him to run point guard, but as a wing, he can come off of screens, come off of picks, create for bigs on the pick and roll or pick and pop. He sees the floor well, and there's still room for growth in his game on that end. So I think that's an underrated piece of what he can do. He's obviously capable of getting to the rim on his own off of those picks and those screens. Defensively, he has a way to go. He gets lost there pretty consistently. But at the same time, you can say that about just about everybody on the roster. So I like what he does offensively. And again, he's cheap. He's on a rookie contract. He's going to be around for a while. And he's worthy of investment. You know, he's not going to be a starter on the next great Grizzlies team or the next playoff Grizzlies team. But could he be somebody who's in the rotation for 14 minutes a night? Yes, I think that's possible. And again, he's done more to this point to show there's evidence of that for him than a Marco Guterich or somebody like that. And because of that, if we're prioritizing guys up and down the rotation for minutes, I would put Grayson Allen in front of him for sure. I think the Anthony Melton versus Grayson is an interesting debate. And I would almost cut out some time from Matias Jones before I'd cut it from Melton or Allen. You know, the 11-man rotation, I think, is smart. Given the way the roster is, there's no point in running anybody in the ground. And if you're going to go with the hot hand logic, you know, Ja Morant maybe plays 36 minutes one night. He has an off night the next night or two games later, and he plays 26 minutes. And the average comes back to earth in terms of it being, you know, 31 or so minutes a game. So I'm okay with the 11-man rotation in a season where you're not necessarily concerned about winning or losing. If you win, cool. If you lose, that's cool too. I want to see as much development as possible, and you have to spread out the love in terms of minutes in order to do that. I would invest in both Grayson and D'Anthony at this stage. I think Grayson, in this particular instance, has shown enough to be worthy of it.
Yeah, the 11-man rotation is in a season where it's not necessarily, it's a more, it's less about wins and losses, yes, but not necessarily even that. It's more about seeing what you got. You know, you got to figure out who's a player and who's not. You got to figure out who's going to be able to play next to Ja, who's going to play next to Jaren, and all those other things that go along with that. This is an experiment season, and I love the fact that Taylor is a coach that has shown that he will experiment with lineups. Clearly, he's done it all season. You know, getting different guys and different, you know, different people, different players playing together at different times, all that type of stuff. And because that's really what this season is about, most of all, more than anything else, more than wins and losses, is figuring out what you have and the players that you have on your team and whether those guys are going to fit long term, or if you need to start looking for pieces that, you know, you can move them for different assets. If you, you know, instead of letting them walk away in the off season, something like that. So I love the idea of the 11-man rotation just for that simple fact of got to figure out what you got in a lot of these guys. Let's take our last break. We'll be right back and finish up with Joe Monix from Grizzly Bear Blues. Welcome back to the show. Talking with Joe Monix, site manager over at grizzlybearblues.com. Make sure you go and read his stuff over there. All the guys over there do a great job. Parker, Sean Coleman, a good friend of mine, is still over there. Those guys are all good. Everything is up there all the time. Make sure you go and read it every single day. It's good stuff. So also go follow Joe on Twitter at Joe Monix. Like, he did very, very good follow. If you're not already, I'm sure most people listening to this show are already following you on that social media website. Last thing I want to get you out of here. I want to talk a little bit. You mentioned Tyus Jones. I wanted to get your thoughts on Tyus Jones. You know, we talked in the summer on this show about, you know, the idea of Tyus Jones and DeLon Wright. And I think we probably had a healthy debate on that. You know, and obviously that really doesn't matter. It's neither here nor there now, because Tyus Jones is here, and you got to figure out how to make Tyus Jones be effective on this team. And I'm not sure that, you know, whether they're not doing it or he's just not playing well, but what do you, have you been able to pin down or, you know, glean anything from Tyus Jones' play, why he's not as successful as I think everybody thought he was going to be, at least as far as his passing, his turnover ratio is higher than it has been in a long time. Anything that you've seen that you think is providing or, you know, kind of helping him not being as effective as he probably should be?
Change in tempo, change in scheme, change in location, different personnel and clientele to be playing with. There's all sorts of different ways you can look at it. And you got to remember, Tyus Jones, while he's played in the league for a while, is only 23 years old. You know, Brandon Clark is younger than him, but it's like a half year, you know? So he's still relatively young in terms of what he's physically capable of. I am not concerned about him because I've seen him play at a relatively high level, especially in the role that Memphis needs him to be as a backup point guard. I think they're asking him to do too much. I think they're having him push pace, and obviously you want to have guys that are consistently able to do that within scheme. You don't want to have Ja Morant for 32 minutes a game, you know, be running and sprinting up and down the floor, and then when Tyus is in for 14 or 16 minutes, all of a sudden slow things down. But with Ja Morant's presence, obviously the rookie contract, paying Tyus what you're paying him isn't that big of a deal in terms of cash, because you're not worried about maxing out Jaren or Ja just yet. Or a future Brandon Clark contract if necessary, that kind of thing. So I'm not as worried as when people start saying, oh my God, we're paying a guy $9 million a year to play 12 to 14 minutes a night. Yeah, that's kind of the cost of doing business in the NBA right now. And on a roster like the Grizzlies, where your best players the next few years are going to be on rookie deals, that's not necessarily nearly as big of a deal. I could see them doing an Andre Iguodala trade, where they take on a 2 or 3 year contract that's in the $20+ million range. That the money doesn't matter at this point. What matters is getting assets and getting talent around Jaren and Ja. And Tyus is a good example of a solid backup point guard who I think is in a place right now where he's not comfortable, and he needs to continue to develop that comfortability. That'll come with time. That'll come with reps. You'd obviously like to see him be more successful at this stage. Obviously, the shooting stroke is a concern, but I think that'll come. The bigger issue is what we argued for, or what I argued for Tyus at the signing, was his efficiency. You know, his assist to turnover ratio has definitely not been anywhere near what it was earlier in his career. And that's where I really want to see the improvement. His shot may not come back this year. You have off years of shooting the basketball. If you're an average NBA player, which is what Tyus Jones is, you're not always going to be red hot from beyond the arc or even from the floor in general. I really want to see him crack down on the turnovers, being better at facilitation. Obviously, you need guys to make shots off of your passes in order for your assist numbers to go up as well. But I really want to see him get more comfortable. And I think that that will come with time within these schemes. He's playing faster than he's ever been asked to play. I think that's a big part of it. And he's only been around, you got to remember, training camp was in September. So these guys have only been playing together for a couple of months here, or maybe going on 3 months almost. They have workouts over the summer and stuff, but it's a process. You know, there's a reason I say call me a Christmas in general with overall sweeping beliefs about this roster. You got to give them at least a quarter of a season, if not a little bit more, to get their feet wet. And early returns are not good for Tyus, but I do believe that it'll turn around and improve because we've seen it in the past. He's a player that has to adapt, and I think he will. But once he's comfortable, he has shown in previous comfortable situations that he can produce. And I'm not ready to say he's not capable of doing that just yet. Maybe in March or April, I'll be a little bit more concerned, or even, you know, a few weeks from now as we get into 2020. But between now and the end of the month, he's got 8 to 10 games where he can continue to find his groove and figure out how his teammates want the ball and where he fits best with this Memphis Grizzlies squad. And I think that's going to be something that comes his way with time.
I think you're absolutely right. Something you mentioned that I have probably pinned down is the pace. You know, Tyus Jones is a guy that has never played the Timberwolves, the team that he has been on, and never been higher than 15th in pace in the entire league. And the Grizzlies sit at 5 right now. So there is a different style of play than Tyus has been used to in his entire career. And as you noted, he's still a very, very young player. So he has clearly a lot of time to develop, and he will. We're a quarter into the season. And so they got a long way to go with this roster. And like I just said, it's just all about experimenting. It's all about figuring out what is best in certain times so that when you do have a roster, you know, maybe next year or the year after that, that is competing, you have all those kinks worked out. Joe, I appreciate we're out of time. I appreciate you coming on. We went the entire show without talking one thing about Ja Morant, which is kind of crazy because I don't think we do that for any show. But I only did it because we talked a whole bunch about Ja Morant on your show. So if you want to hear Joe and I talk about Ja Morant, go listen to the Grizzly Bear Blues live show that I'm on. We talked about it a ton over there. So I wanted to take us in a different direction for this show. So we had a little bit of variety for people. We talked a little bit about Ja on your show. We talked to everybody else on mine. So again, I appreciate you coming on. If you guys aren't already following him on Twitter, go follow him on Twitter at Joe Mullenix. Joe, what can people read from you this week?
We have the feature up about Josh Jackson. I'm probably going to do a perfect rotation piece here in the next couple of days. Like I mentioned, you know, once everybody's healthy, who should get the minutes, who shouldn't. Our game coverage is always terrific over at grizzlybearblues.com. Our staff does a great job with previews and recaps and report cards. Parker Fleming has started a series of NBA specific or NBA at large features. He, in his first, feature, he tackles why the ratings are down and how he would fix it. So there's lots of good stuff over there. Sean Coleman's done a remarkable job. I know you know Sean well. He's really stepped up this year. Nate Chester, Jordan Peterson did a hell of a job. I wasn't up. I went to bed. I'm going to be honest. I'm getting old. Jordan Peterson stayed up and ran our Twitter account.
There was no chance. I was making it to the fourth quarter in that game.
No, zero chance. I'm East Coast time, so there was no way. But Jordan Peterson did a phenomenal job. I went back through and read the tweets, and she was there were some, you know, engagement numbers that I would be excited about at a normal time game that she got late night. So, you know, we have so many folks doing so much good work over there. Our staff does a remarkable job. It gets bigger and better every year, and I'm proud of the work we do. So give us a shout at SBN Grizzlies. Follow me on Twitter at Joe Mullinax. Go check out grizzlybearblues.com. You know, we talk about it every week. This is an elite time for Grizzlies fans in terms of content between you, us at GBB, Daily Memphian, Commercial Appeal, The Athletic, the Memphis Flyer with Sharon or with Shy, and Amy Sane doing a great job over at Grizzlies Maven. There's so much good stuff out there to check out, and I'm just happy to be a part of that Grizzlies media universe.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you coming on. Again, like you mentioned, Joe will be on every single week on Wednesday. Check out tomorrow's show with David Cobb as well. Man, I appreciate it. Let's do it again next week.
I'm looking forward to it already, Mark. Thank you, sir.